There have been lots of stories lately about hacking into private computers, and the Department of Homeland Security this month has bolstered its efforts to target cybercriminals. So a lot of people are wondering, how vulnerable are they to getting hacked, having all their personal information hijacked, and all their money transferred to offshore accounts? In other words, life ending as you know it. Today, a conversation about the dangers of getting hacked and what that could mean for you. With us today are Dustin Jacobson. He's the Chief Strategy Officer for FlatSquare Technology Group. Dustin, welcome back. Nice to have you.
Good to be here.
Brandon Holley is also here. He's the Business Development Manager for Network Technologies of Olathe that helps businesses manage their IT. And Brandon, nice to have you too. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Dustin, let's talk about home computers. How likely am I to get hacked?
Well, the reality is that everybody will be hacked at some point, whether it's a credit card, an email address, something. So it's not really a matter of if, it's more a matter of when.
And why is that?
Well, because just the way we operate today, we operate in a digital world, and we give up information in exchange for goods and services, whether that's Facebook, whether that's convenience by using credit cards. So it's really about that exchange of data more than anything else.
And Brandon, before we go any farther here, what does that mean exactly to be hacked? What's that all about? What happens when you're hacked?
Well, realistically, there's a variety of options there when you get hacked. It's the exposure of your information to the public, to somewhere where it's not supposed to be. Or it's someone gaining access to your equipment, your computer, and utilizing it for means that you don't know about.
Yeah. And do you find that most people are aware of how easily they could be hacked?
They have no idea.
Really?
Absolutely.
How easy is it?
It's extremely easy. Realistically, you're just a number on the internet. The professional hackers these days are scanning the internet daily, automatically using tools. It's no one specifically looking for you as a target. They're looking for an opportunity, and that's all you are. As soon as you plug your computer into the World Wide Web, you're an opportunity.
There are professional hackers out there. You just use that phrase, professional hackers.
It's a crazy concept. You know, people are up
to their
good.
Do they wear suit and ties, or they just show up to an office, or how does that work?
Yeah, I don't know. No one knows because they're always cloaked.
Yeah, but there's people out there who are just trolling all the time, you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's not that they're doing it with their own energy and efforts. They're using tools now that are refined and that are publicly distributed, and they have access to these tools that they've never had access to before.
Well, that's kind of frightening.
It is. It is.
Yeah. What makes me, Dustin, more susceptible to being hacked?
I think the more active that you are digitally, the more likely you are to be hacked. And what I mean by that is the more data that you expose. So whether that's through social media, whether that's through digital transactions versus paying with cash. So really, that the more that you use data, the more likely you are to be hacked at some point.
So if you post a lot to Facebook, are you saying you're vulnerable to getting hacked?
Well, the more, say, apps that you integrate into Facebook. So that's the games that you play, you use Facebook to sign into other sites or share your pictures on Facebook and vice versa. Because it really boils down to data. Data is money nowadays.
So you know you've been hacked. Because what happens, Brandon? What happens then?
Most of the time, you're not going to realize you've been hacked unless you've done business or exchanges with a business entity that openly acknowledges, "Hey, we've been exposed," and you get a letter saying, "Oh, you've been hacked."
Mm-hmm. That's what happens. You get a letter saying it.
Most of the time, or an email or an electronic distribution.
Your information has been compromised. It's been someone reached into our database and pulled out a bunch of information.
Absolutely.
And will you notice money disappearing from your bank account? Or how will you know, what's the consequence of getting hacked?
I would say that would be an extreme. I mean, that would be an extreme slap in the face of, oh, this is happening. I was just hacked. You know, what's going on with my bank account? Most of the frontline criminals today aren't gathering information to use. They're gathering information to sell. Mm. It's much easier for someone to collect a big group of data and sell it to other people to do malicious activities than it is to actually take that data and follow through with that next step. You know, everybody has skill sets. It's the same thing in the criminal world. They have their own skill sets.
Some folks gather the information and ship it down the line.
Absolutely.
God, that's just amazing. If our listeners want to chime in here with their questions about how vulnerable they are and how to protect themselves, this would be a great time to call with our two good experts here in the studio. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888. You can also tweet us at KCUR up to date. Have you been hacked, Dustin?
Well, it depends on how you define hacking.
Mm-hmm.
I have had my credit card stolen several times a year.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
And you've had purchases showing up on your bill?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That happens all the time.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. You'd be surprised. But, you know,
it's never happened to me yet. I'm not, welcome, everybody.
Right,
come get
right.
me, you know, but yeah.
Yeah, because all the major, not all, several large major retailers have been hacked over the last few years.
Yeah.
So, and it's not just your, what you typically classify as hacking, you know, and somebody stealing access to your email account. I'm not sure how many people are familiar with the latest Congress, I think, tried to pass, or it's at least in discussion, the Spy Act. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
With, you know, being able to hack into cars, because now you can hack into somebody's car and you can remote control it. Took somebody about a year.
Incredibly, obviously, an incredibly frightening thing.
It's very frightening.
Yeah.
You know, and the hacking was done 10 miles away. It's not like they're standing, like, right next to the car. There's, you know, a long ways away, and they remotely controlled the car. They turned on the windshield wipers and ultimately got it to just stop. But you can remote control it. So it's, you know, people give up some of that power, you know, like you get locked out of your car. So some of those services can be great. You know, you call in a phone number, give them your PIN or whatever password, they unlock your car, and all of a sudden you're back in. But at the same time, you can also have hackers gain access to that and get in your car, remote control it as well.
You know, you're scaring everybody listening to the show right now, Dustin. That's exactly what's going on here. I mean, this is really scary stuff. I mean, the takeaway here is we're in a different world, a different environment, Brandon, and bad stuff can happen pretty easily to you.
Oh, absolutely. One thing to remember, though, is it's not just you that they're interested in. You're just a number on the net. It's the computer and the information on it that they're looking for. You know, they may install a keylogger to record your passwords and credit card info, but realistically, they're trying to gain access to your PC. And that way, they can turn that PC into a zombie PC and use it without your knowing it once they have control of it.
Use it to do what?
Well, it's called a botnet. They'll use it. They'll use the bandwidth and the computing power, and they'll use that PC to start attacking other PCs. Remember the tools I talked about that are scanning the net? Once they find a vulnerability, they'll take control of that PC without you knowing it, still let you use it, still let you do your Facebook posts, but then they'll start using it to scan the rest of the internet. It's called a botnet. And
I've never heard of this before.
It's exponentially growing that hacker's power and ability to scan the net.
That's just unbelievable.
Yeah, and you know, as Brandon mentioned, there's tools out there, like you can purchase Microsoft Office or whatever, that you can just, it's hacking software, and you go out and you buy it, and all of a sudden you're got your own little, you know, scanning the internet and randomly, you know, pinging different websites with default passwords and usernames and stuff, just trying to see what front doors have been left open.
Let's go to a couple of calls, and I want to come back very quickly and talk about what on our earth you need to do to protect yourself from this kind of stuff. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Brandon Holly and Dustin Jacobson are our guests. Let's go to Paul from Kansas City, Kansas. Paul, good morning.
Good morning. I have gotten two letters recently from two different healthcare systems saying they've been hacked and my information has been compromised. One was kind of in the national news, one wasn't. And quite frankly, the name of the second one, it didn't sound like anything I'd ever heard of. It was kind of surprising. So there's a lot of people out there in the world that have your information that you have no idea who has it. And I think a lot of these organizations, I've been in IT for 30 or 40 years now, and I think there's a lot of organizations that just do not understand the internet was not built with security in mind from the ground up in the first place. And secondly, they don't have an idea what security is. They're all trying to patch the leaks afterwards. They're not trying to prevent things up front.
Brandon, does Paul have a point? Are most businesses just not really tending to that part of their IT capabilities and concerns?
I couldn't have said it any better. Realistically, most businesses have computers these days, and they rely on that on the leverage that a computer brings to the equation. But they're not being proactive in securing their data. There's a big mentality of, oh, I'm not at risk. No one cares about me. I'm just little mom and pop shop. Realistically, you're just a number. So you need to reduce your footprint and protect your protect your information and protect your networks proactively.
Mm-hmm. Paul, thank you for the phone call. What are you doing to protect yourself, Paul, now in the wake of all this?
Well, they offer free credit protection monitoring, I believe. I just got the one letter recently. I'm going to probably sign up for it. I've also reduced what I think of as my attack surface. I've cut down the number of credit cards I have. I cut the number of interactions I have with financial institutions. I use institutions that have a two-factor authentication where I log into their system, and they will call me back with a one-time password that's a little more secure. Some area credit unions offer that. And in general, I'm kind of getting tired of the whole thing. I've reduced my surfing and the internet in general. I turn my PC off when it's not being used. I watch it like a hawk. And I'm still, you know, and the problem is other people have my info. So no matter how secure I make myself, my PC, you know, getting hacked is basically the fact that the internet is big. Somebody else has my info. They pass it around, and I have no control over any of it.
And when you say you watch your computer like a hawk, Paul, what does that mean? What are you watching?
I run antivirus software. I also run some second opinion scans for things like rootkits. And just anything that happens, anything weird that happens, I try to dig into it. I keep it patched and updated as best I can. Although I've had a few patches from Microsoft, which have torpedoed my machine, too. So they're even getting worse. I mean, this is a billion line. Every computer is a billion lines of code running in some fashion that makes it work. And it doesn't take much to leave an opening for the bad guys, unfortunately.
Paul, you said something else that really interested me. You said you turn off your computer frequently. Does that protect your computer when it's off, Paul?
Well, it's not, in my opinion, okay, it used to be years ago, people wouldn't turn anything off because they were afraid it wouldn't turn back on. Now it's the hardware is really good. I turn it on, I get my email in the morning, I look at the news, I turn it off. I come home, I turn it on, use it for a bit, turn it off. It's not on 24 hours a day, so I'm not exposed 24 hours a day. I'm exposed a couple hours a day. It's not on overnight. I don't have it on overnight. I mean, and why waste the power? And why leave myself sitting there as a target? Yeah, I'm one person out of 300 million in the U.S. and a couple billion in the world that has a computer.
Yeah.
But I'm doing what I can. I think just reducing the time I'm online, if I'm not using it, why leave it on?
Right,
There's
right,
There's no reason
right.
for it.
Paul, so I'm really, just, really glad
yeah,
you called.
Reduce your attack surface. Yeah,
yeah appreciate okay. the call very much. Does turning your computer off, does that help or not, Dustin?
I think we have a little bit different opinion. I think that to some extent it does a little bit.
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, leaving your car in the driveway versus a garage. Yeah, it's, you know, it's a little bit safer, but in reality, if somebody wants it, they're going to get it.
Well, if it's off, though, why doesn't that afford you more protection than what you're describing here?
Oh, well, because it's not just your computer. You know, it's your network, it's your router, it's a variety of things. And it's not just what you're doing, it's what everybody you work with or exchange data with. So, you know, some of the companies that have been hacked over the last couple of years, you know, you look at Target, you look at Home Depot, you look at Staples, you look at these big major companies.
Yeah.
That, you know, and not to consider all the healthcare companies that have been hacked recently. So I'm not as concerned about somebody getting my credit card from Target, which did happen. I'm more concerned about the healthcare theft, because that's a lot more personal information than it is just somebody got my credit card and I get a new credit card in the mail.
And what's your concern about somebody knowing your health history, your health issues?
Well, I think, you know, and you look at the money now that's being dumped into this reactionary perspective, you know, and one company here, you know, Cerner just got a $4 billion contract. I mean, that's serious
big
money.
Big story in the paper.
Yeah, big story. Yeah. And which is great for the Kansas City area. And I think it's definitely something that needs to be improved. The issue there is that there's tons of personal information. You know, if somebody knows that I bought a car seat from Target, I don't really care. If somebody knows all my medical history back for the last, you know, 30 years or 40 years or whatever, that's a little bit more, you know, personal nature than just random purchases.
Yeah. Let's go back to some phone calls here at 816-235-2888. Mary Helen from the Northland. Good morning.
Well, that partially answered my question.
Yeah.
About turning your computer off, but What about putting it in sleep or hibernate mode? Is that still just as dangerous as completely leaving it on? Or, I mean, I'll shut it off. It's an inconvenience sometimes because it takes a little bit more time to boot it up. And
yeah, right. Brandon, Holly, what about putting your computer to sleep? That sounds, what a funny concept.
Well,
it's still on.
Yeah.
Realistically, shutting off your computer, putting it in sleep, or hibernating isn't going to reduce your overall risk footprint. You know, we preach to our customers who are small and medium-sized businesses in Kansas City area. We preach to them that we have to approach a layered approach when it comes to security. So turning the PC off isn't as relevant, but having a spam filter in the cloud, having a firewall at the edge of your network, setting up your PC correctly so that it's restricting the network administrator passwords and the ability to install programs, and then end-user training. There's lots of different layers to actually securing a PC and safeguarding a network that happen before turning it on or off.
Yeah.
Realistically, turning it on or off isn't going to stop an attack or reduce your footprint. Because most of the times when you access information or you access a piece of software that's not supposed to be there, you're using the computer.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting hacked when it's just in hangout mode while you're sleeping.
Well, I guess the obvious, I hope that helps, Mary Helen.
I guess so. Thank you.
Okay, good luck. What are some things, again, before we lose this conversation here, what are two or three or four things that folks, maybe like Mary Helen, I don't mean to describe her if I'm not being accurate here, but folks like me, for that matter, who aren't computer wizards, what can we do to safeguard our computers at home? Brandon, what would you recommend? Two, three, four things.
Safeguard your computers at home. User training. First and foremost, know what you're doing while you're on the internet. Know that, be familiar with the sites that you're frequenting. Don't frequent sites that are
questionable.
Have a lot of malicious opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Sites like what? What kind of site is that?
Well, I mean, realistically, so Facebook's a big one. They have their own internal systems. But as soon as you leave Facebook off of a link or a banner ad, that's where the majority of the population is hitting repeatedly. So there's going to be more opportunity, and that's where the bad guys are going to target to try to put malicious activity.
So if you just go on Facebook, you call up Facebook.com, and you're on Facebook, that's a safer way to get on Facebook?
Yeah, absolutely. If you just go directly to the source and log in rather than using any kind of links.
Okay.
Then obviously unscrupulous, pornography websites, third-party shopping websites that aren't the big ones, the Groupon and Amazon are probably going to be okay as long as you go directly to that site. But there are lots of little spin-ups and unknowns that are promising fantastic deals. Yeah. Those you got to worry about. So the end-user training, just knowing what you're doing while you're using your computer.
Yeah. Dustin, what would you add to that?
Yeah, I think
there's AVG software and all this stuff. I get the free version. Is that the right thing to be doing?
Yeah, I think that there's some basic things like keeping your computer updated, making sure you have the latest software. I think what the caller earlier mentioned was as soon as you update something, everything's all interrelated. So you run a Windows update or a Mac update, and all of a sudden your printer doesn't work or your something else doesn't connect to your network. So that's one of the challenges and why a lot of people are hesitant because they know that as soon as you update one thing, it may break something else.
Yeah.
So that is a risk, and that kind of requires you to keep current on your printers and that other stuff. But that really is one of the most basic things you can do is when those little updates pop up, make sure that your computer is current, that you're using the latest software because they updated it for a reason, and that's usually because of security.
I use a CC cleaner thing a lot. Is that a good thing to be doing?
Well, there's companies that have made millions of
dollars.
I always
ask these questions. You always look at me like I'm half crazy.
No.
I'm just a neophyte here.
No. That's a great question. There's so many of those that are, they'll pop up and like, oh, your computer's been hacked. That's really just an ad for software that really doesn't do anything. So there's just as many unscrupulous software programs that aren't really scanning anything or really doing anything.
Well, CC Cleaner, one I should be using or not?
I'm not that familiar with it, honestly. So
sure, that particular program is fine. The risk that you're going to run being a self-described computer noob or not as efficient, you can break stuff. I mean, using these tools that are designed for a certain purpose, you can actually do more harm than good if you don't know what you're doing.
I just get the free version and click on it. Yeah, well, I don't know what. No one knows what they're doing anymore. Elsa from Liberty, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. My biggest concern has been, as a senior citizen,
that our Social Security number is around in every doctor's office and hospitals. There should be a different way of handling that. Is there any way you can answer that?
Yeah, that's a great question, Elsa. Brandon?
I don't believe so. I mean, that number directly ties with our entire existence. So having that number out there in the medical field is pretty much always going to be a constant unless there's a law that changes it.
Well, Elsa raises a point, and Dustin, you mentioned it already today. Cerner getting this big contract. All our medical records are going online. How vulnerable does that make us?
I would say it's extremely vulnerable.
Really?
You have to have faith that the companies are doing everything that they can to safeguard it by partnering with professional IT firms, you know, similar to Network Technologies. But at the end of the day, it's as simple as one policy not being absolutely followed, or it's as simple as one end user clicking the wrong little, you know, pretty kitty cat picture.
Because you're not maybe feeling any more secure this morning as you talk about businesses and what they're doing. You're saying a lot of them aren't doing what they need to be doing.
They don't know what they don't know. You know, that's a saying that we have. And until you partner with a professional IT firm, you don't know where you stand. And, you know, most IT firms out here will come in and do free network assessments, and they'll give you information freely, and they'll just educate you and say, hey, you're not following best practices, and we can help you get there. And that's something that I do every day. But it's as easy as one policy not being enforced or one piece of hardware being misconfigured at that point of install, and then there's a point of vulnerability, and no one comes back to look at it and check for it.
You know, Dustin, give me some context here. I mean, it seems to me we're, you know, in year, 15 or 18 of this computer revolution, and I'm wondering whether 10, 15, 20 years down the road, these conversations will be more obsolete because we will have come and progressed to a point where we're a little more, our systems are a little more safe, or we have too far to go here.
Yeah, I think it's too far to go. I think that, you know, there's always going to be a risk. I think it's, you know, a lot of the policies and technologies that are implemented are usually reactionary. And the reason for that is cost, purely.
Yeah.
You know, healthcare records are going electronic because it's going to be lower cost, ultimately. Some of that's going to be passed on, but then it opens up other risks. So, you know, are we going to be safer? I don't think so. I think there's always going to be risk.
Okay, we'll have to leave our very scary conversation right there. I want to thank Dustin Jacobson, Chief Strategy Officer for FlatSquare Technology, Brandon Holly, Business Development Manager for Network Technologies of Olathe. Gents, thanks so much. Come back and we'll update this conversation sometime soon, okay?
Always a pleasure.
Sounds great.